Let's pray and we get going for today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus right now, God, we ask you to actually manifest yourself here today, God. We're not looking for gymnastics and playing games. We need a manifestation of the Most High God in these last days, because this is serious business. The devil is coming for real to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's evident right now that the devil is driving people out of their senses. We've got people that should be logical, should be academically astute. They should be intelligent people. But it's a fog and a haze over their minds. And you can see something has happened to people to drive them into this state of just delusional thinking. God is going to take supernatural divine intervention to save people, because the mind is the arena, it's the battleground. And if you lose your mind, you have nothing to work with. So God, in the name of Jesus, interdict the devil's efforts to destroy folks' minds. He's got guys walking around as actually living zombies. Their pants pulled down to their knees, covered in tattoos. I mean, looking like monstrosities. This is actually a zombie apocalypse for real. And all these zombie movies, they always just chop the heads off of the zombies and take shotguns and blow their heads off and hack them to death with hatchets and things of that nature. Because the zombie is a dead man walking with no contributions made to society, but he just tries to eat people and bite them to make the others into zombies. So it's a cold-blooded killing arena on these zombie movies, World War Z and Zombie Apocalypse and The Walking Dead. They're always just drifting around, going to the club, drinking syrup, smoking crack, laying up with whores, hanging around, smoking a blunt. Zombies. Man, do you have a job? Do you have any productivity in your life? What are you doing? I'm a brain dead zombie. That's what the devil is making people into, God, and you got to interdict. Yes. Only supernatural interdiction can save these people from the brink of insanity. God, it's out of our hands now. I'm not even going to try to save people as far as using effort. I'll present my body. I'll get in the fight. But if you don't show up, this is a damned planet. Got to have a supernatural intervention from you, God. You got to have the power of the Holy Ghost on display. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You've got to move, or these folks are lost. These folks are lost forever. God, please. I mean, I'm just interceding for them and asking you to do something about it. Because some folks are approaching the day of reprobation, and there is no salvation. If you don't interdict, God, there are damn people that can't be saved. And family members, children, husbands, wives, just all kinds of people that come and look right at truth, spit on it, walk away from it, and go into a delusion. That's supernatural. God, please have mercy on our souls and the souls of these folks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
French legions come through the Valley of Armageddon to the Battle of Armageddon, and the balance of power in the Middle East is thrown back into the hands of the West. Now Napoleon goes to Europe. He takes the emperor's crown and puts it on his head and tries to resurrect the Roman Empire. The fourth beast of Daniel, that the Roman Empire, those countries would have to be reconfederated. And when he puts that crown on his head, he looks just like the Antichrist. He wasn't that spirit. That does teach something about the Antichrist. You understand? Pattern. He's of that spirit. The Plymouth Brethren, many of them, thought Mussolini was the Antichrist. Mussolini, as did Hitler and Franco, all the dictators, Perón in Argentina, they all made pacts with the Roman Catholic Church, with the hierarchy, and even with the papacy. Mussolini made a treaty with the Pope. And the Jews were beginning to turn to Israel that time, and the Aliyah movement. many of the Plymouth Brethren were convinced Mussolini was the Antichrist. They were not completely wrong. He was of that spirit. There are many Antichrists. Once again, all these people you see demanding deification, virtually, like Kim Il-sung in North Korea. Forget about communism. That's not what's happening in North Korea. What's happening in North Korea is the combination of Buddhism and Confucianism. And this deification, building 20-story statues of himself and people bowing to it, that's not a Marxist ideology. That's the territorial spirit over that area of the world of Korea. The Hebrew word is marashot, principality, arche in Greek. Hitler, Mussolini, Idi Amin, all of these people are of that spirit. There are many antichrists, many. But then there is the Antichrist. Now, to understand this, we have to look deeper at the spirit of it. What is the definition? 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son relationship. Islam denies the Father and Son relationship between Jesus and God. It says in the Quran, God has no son. Islam is an Antichrist religion. Liberal Protestantism denies the Father and Son relationship, doesn't it? What does it say? Holding the form of religion, but denying the power therein. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Rabbinic Judaism is an Antichrist religion. The Judaism you see today is not the Judaism of Moses and the Old Testament in any sense. Old Testament Judaism required a temple and a Levitical priesthood. After the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, every Jew had a choice. He could accept Jesus as the Messiah who fulfilled the law, or he could invent another religion. They invented another religion. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. We call Jeremiah in Hebrew Yirmiyahu Hanavi. And this is what he predicts. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 39, defines living water as the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? He tells the woman at the well, I will give you living water. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. The fountain of living water is the Messiah who would give the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that from John 7? The Holy Spirit is living water. Jesus is the fountain. Jeremiah predicts the Jews would reject him, the one who would give living water, and most Jews have. The founders of Christianity were Jewish, but most Jewish people reject him until the last days when they begin to accept him again. The second evil they commit is they invent another religion. That's what the Jews did. The Council of Yavne, after the temple was destroyed, a rabbi who was a classmate of St. Paul from the school of Hillel, they were both disciples of Rabbi Gamaliel. His name was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He and St. Paul were both disciples of the same rabbi, Gamaliel, who was the grandson of Rabbi Hillel, who founded this school of the Pharisees. They were classmates in the rabbinic seminary, as it were. He invented another religion. Instead of the priest, the Kohen, it became the rabbi. Instead of the temple, it became the synagogue. To this day, Jewish people, when I got married under a chuppah, so the banner over me is love from the Song of Solomon, I stepped on a wine glass. My wife's parents are Jewish, I stepped on a wine glass, commemorating the destruction of the temple. On the roof of every Orthodox synagogue, you have the term Ichabod. Ichabod, the glory has departed. They know it. The Passover was to be eaten with lamb, but that requires a spotless lamb sacrificed by the right priest at the right location. Instead, what do? They eat the Passover with poultry. Only Jewish believers eat it with lamb, because we still have a high priest. His name is Jesus, Yeshua. Jewish Christians would eat the Passover with lamb because we have a high priest. They don't. Rabbinic Judaism is not the Judaism of the Bible. What did Jesus say about it? There was something called Habikat HaMinim. In the synagogue liturgy, you have 18 blessings. But they added a 19th, which was actually a curse on Jewish believers, praying that their names would be blotted out of the Book of Life. Now, when this happens, ultra-Orthodox Jews will pray this in the synagogue, that the names of Jewish Christians will be blotted out of the Book of Life. What does Jesus say in the Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9? I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. They were culturally, anthropologically, and religiously Jews, but spiritually they weren't. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, Paul says. They're rather a synagogue of Satan. Rabbinic Judaism is a false religion. So we've dealt with Islam, Rabbinic Judaism. The true Judaism today is Messianic Judaism. That's the true heirs of the Torah, or Messianic Jews. Liberal Protestantism, but there is one other very major Antichrist religion. The term vicar means in place of. The vicar of Christ. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit who is the vicar of Christ, we're told in John 14. He's the one who acts in place of Jesus. The Latin term is vicarius Christus. The Greek term is antichristos. The Greek word anti does not simply mean against. It means in place of. The Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ. The papacy is a satanic counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, one is your teacher who's in heaven. The Holy Spirit will teach you these things. Roman Catholicism teaches, for your hermeneutics to be right, your ecclesiology must be right. Only the Pope can interpret Scripture infallibly when he speaks ex cathedra. The papacy is an antichrist institution, and Roman Catholicism is by definition an antichrist religion. Every pope claims to be the vicarius Christus, the vicar of Christ. He's not. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ. Roman Catholicism is by biblical definition an antichrist religion. Ask anybody who reads Greek what antichristus means. It's the pope's title. We need to have a break soon. So let's do that now.
On the last day. But what my father wants is that all through the Son and believe in him should have eternal life. And I will raise them to life on the last day.
It's amazing, but nothing down here is like we think it is, you know. And when you start knowing what's really going on, sometimes you got to go home for a minute and kind of recalibrate your mind. They say, like, man, when I got saved, I didn't know I was getting all of this, you know. I mean, that's how you feel sometimes, because nobody did. I didn't, you didn't. I just knew I was messed up, but I needed some help. But the coming out of Egypt is one thing. The going into the promised land to represent the person that saved you is another. He saved you to be an ambassador for him. He didn't just save you because you were hurting to sit around and just mend your wounds up the rest of your life. He's mending us up and preparing us for something that's productive and progressive. So when you come out of this thing, come out of the world and just get saved, you never figured all of this was over here. So I know when we preach it, you know, and tell it, it's a rude awakening to people. And I know it shocks people's system, but there is no plan B. You know what I'm saying? Whatever hand we've been dealt, we got to play it. We weren't born in the first century. We were born at the end of the age. So I guess if you evaluate it, you have to come to the conclusion, if God had you born now, you must be able to take it. So let me get on with the refabricating of myself, to be able to stand in the midst of this and just make a stand, having done all to stand, standing therefore. But what he said about the Antichrist is very valid. But I'm going to zero in on a couple of things real fast before we get into this lesson today. And one of the things is a major delusion that is taking folks' minds over and just driving them off the deep end to the degree that these people are losing their salvation over a complete fabricated lie. And they're believing it with everything and going to be damned behind it. And that's this black Hebrew Israelite delusion. That thing is a major force that's got people totally messed up and they become crazy. I saw a guy today, he said, if you don't believe the black man is the real Hebrew and the black man is the legitimate person to an heir to Abraham, then this shut the F up and get some knowledge. Now, what's revealing about that is this. They put no emphasis on righteousness and being born again and saved. You see, your blackness won't save you. I'm going to show you today why it can't be about your blackness. You know, for one thing, if it was about my blackness, tell that Hebrew God to bring back my flat screen TV stole from me last week. So it can't be a black person getting you in, because there's a lot of black people raping, pillaging, and robbing. And then they'll tell you just don't know who you are. You don't know you're a king and a queen. And they call each other king and queen and walk around totally driven into madness and will just hate you and berate you if you don't believe it. What's the callous behind all of that? I'm going to read this post I put on the internet a year ago. This is what I told him. And I'm going to tie it into what you just heard Jacob Prash say. I said, listen very carefully to the exegesis of Revelation 2:9 taught here, which states, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, if you know about the black Hebrew Israelites and these folk that believe that the black man is God, they'll tell you that the people over in Israel claiming to be Jews, that's the synagogue of Satan, empowered by the Rothschilds and that hexagram, which is the star of Rempham. That's all true. It's not a symbol for Judaism, never has been. The Rothschilds gave the Jews that. And it's basically a witchcraft symbol, a hexagram. So they'll use that as a jumping off place to prove that the black man is really the Hebrew. And so they're saying the Jews over there now are of the synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are not. There is a false teaching circulating, especially among black Christians. And I say that with a parenthesis around that and an exclamation mark behind it, mark behind it, and quotation marks over all of that. Because when you say a black Christian that believes this, you're not talking about a Christian at all. There is a delusional teaching, especially among black Christians, that teach that the Jews in Israel are Khazars and blacks are the real Jews. Because they'll tell you that the Jews in Israel are Khazarian Jews. And Khazarian Jews are people that appended themselves to the Jewish faith. And they're really white folks pretending to be Jews, because the Jews are really black folks. Now, if my mind had to go through all of this to be saved, I'd go insane. They're Khazarian Jews, they believe. So when you hear people say, those are the Khazars, they're talking about people from over in Europe who said they were Jews and came back to Europe to take over their land, the black folks' land from them. So when you hear, I'm giving you insight because you're going to hear these words and they're going to be enhanced and going to be in the society billowing over. So when you send your little girl or little boy off to college, because this is heavy at HBCUs, when you go to Howard University especially, you'll get inundated with Egyptian god worship and trying to make you into a black goddess or god. So when your kid goes away to school, you have the ability to pre-program them and teach them, you're going to run into this delusion, and don't fall prey to it. Because it's all being generated by the spirit of pride. Now, why do people get proud like this? Whenever you get any group of people that are ostracized and discriminated against, they tend to cull together to try to be proud about themselves in order to offset their depressed, oppressed state. So the black man has to do something to be somebody because the white man told him he was nobody. If you get oppressed and women who have been molested or beat, they'll coalesce together in a group of, you know, disenfranchised, beat women, and now we all must stand together. You know, you get breast cancer survivors. You know, you can get any group that's gone through something unified, they'll coalesce together and form up this movement, you know. And see, that's what happened to black people. Since they were oppressed and told you were nothing but ignorant monkeys from Africa, you know, so now we're going to prove we are the kings and queens of the earth. And see, Price, man, that joker there, he is leading y'all into a delusion. The guy is anti-black. And what he's believed the white man's lie. He's teaching a white man's gospel. You know, the Bible was written by white men to control black people. All of that now in the midst. And we're going to discuss what the Bible and who the Bible's really about and why it's impossible to be a black thing. Let's keep reading here. Oh, my phone cut off. All right, here we go. There's a false teaching circulating, especially among black Christians, that teaches that the Jews in Israel are Khazars and blacks are the real Jews. But the title Jews has very interesting history. The term Jew is derived from the name of Jacob's fourth son, Judah, Yehuda. Now you see, this is why you'll find a lot of them taking on those names like Yehuda, Ben Israel, or Yehoshua. Ben Jeremiah. You know, they're taking all these kind of Hebrew sounding names because they don't want the white slave master's name appended to them. Going back to my Hebrew roots, I become the sons of Yehuda. This is all the logic of it now. Now this sounds simple. Some of those guys will kill me for this. They will viciously beat you into a pulp of flesh and blood on the sidewalk, all because you don't buy into it. One of the keys of always understanding something that is false is that when you don't buy into it, it's taken personally. When you got the real gospel, if a person doesn't receive it, the Bible says just dust off your feet and it's no big deal to you. Because the gospel preached by a righteous person is not personal. You're telling them something for their benefit. You're not getting them to join your personal cause. You see the distinction? That's why you get animosity toward the real, and there's no animosity exuding from the real. The animosity comes to the real, but you don't have any animosity against anybody because you're not trying to sell a product. You know a person. I don't have a product. I'm not trying to prove I'm right because I'm in a state of being. You see what I'm saying? That eliminates all the struggles in your life. But guess what? They will hate you even more. Because I'm a disenfranchised, rejected, downtrodden person. And I want you to accept that I am somebody. What did the man keep screaming over and over again in the days of the civil rights movement? I am somebody. I am. Say it again. Somebody. Say it louder. I am somebody. That don't make you somebody by yelling it out. And what I'm saying is normal, middle of the road, is not a big deal. But folks are, see, you got to understand right now, we're living in an environment where everybody's worked up to a fever pitch about their cause. Homosexuals, lesbians, transgender, black Hebrew Israelites, Muslims, everybody. Feminists. Everybody got their fists clenched. We're all in simple. And they really kill for their cause. But the Christian is around. I have no cause. I have no world. I have no pony in the race. I don't care about none of this stuff. I think it's scheduled to be burned up here shortly. So why would you have a cause? They hate you even more. When you're just neutral and bland, that means every cause hates you. Because you won't get in a... And it's satanic because Satan wants you to append yourself to something in his matrix. He doesn't care what you belong to, but you will belong to something. A sorority, a fraternity, a Masonic lodge, a Eastern Star Lodge. You will belong to something in my matrix. Because I'm not accepting a bland, uncommitted existence outside of my world that I govern. That's what you're picking up. That's the frenetic energy in your family. They want you to buy into their religion. They belong to a church, and you are the church. You see the distinction? You go to a church, you belong to a church. I am the church. So when you go to meetings, yeah, I go to meetings, but it ain't all that to me. Well, your pastor, I don't care nothing about him. Every man bears his own burden. I work at my salvation for myself with fear and trembling. Vessels teach me, but I ain't all into all that, no kind of way. Well, you trying to build a church, you trying to open up Dunamis Tabernacle, I don't care nothing about that junk, man. You can't process this. See, you'll never process this if you're in the matrix trying to belong to some movement or you have been coalesced into some group to give you what? Identity. I need identity. When you have identity in Christ, the very nature of your existence is heavenly. That means there's no earthly identity. I don't care about anything down here. But what about the president? I could care less. And see, you'll never process this when your mind is bound by it. This is why we're culling out some guys in late August whose minds have been fabricated and refabricated to be dismissed from this world. You got to go into this with no pony in the race. You got nothing to lose. You burned every bridge behind you. That's a real Christian. Folks that got something in them, hanging them up, they still want something from here. they will go back every time. They're not going to make it. Just your very nature won't let you make it. This fingerprint thing works sometimes, sometimes it don't. Okay, here we go. He says, the term Jew is derived from the name of Jacob's fourth son, Judah, Yehuda in the Hebrew, and may have originally applied only to Judah's descendants, who comprised one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you see now the word Jew really is talking about the tribes of Judah. Now look, let's examine this. On his deathbed, Jacob assigned Judah the role of leader and king, a prophecy that was fulfilled in 869 BCE when all 12 tribes submitted to the reign of King David of the tribe of Judah. In the 5th century BCE, the kingdom of Israel was conquered by Assyrian king Sennacherib, you remember him in the Bible, right? And the 10 tribes were exiled and lost. The only remaining Israelites were the residents of the kingdom of Judah, and the term Yehuda or Jew came to refer to all the Israelites regardless of their tribal ancestry. Now what you're looking at right there is the first diaspora. The word diaspora, spora comes from a word which means dispersion. When the Jews are scattered, so when the Assyrians came in, you had a diaspora or a scattering of the 10 tribes, but Judah stayed intact. And you know, Judah was always in covenant with Benjamin. So the Judah and the Benjamites stayed intact, but the other 10 tribes were scattered, dispersed abroad. And see, what happened was, when you get a diaspora, if you take any people group and you let that people group now amalgamate into other civilizations, you're going to get a mixing. You're going to get a mixing of those people into that civilization. Now, that was one diaspora. You know, when the other famous diaspora took place in the Bible, it was when Babylon invaded, and they dispersed the Jews when Babylon invaded Israel. So you got these different dispersions. Another one took place after 70 AD. There was a dispersion of Jews. They were scattered worldwide. Excuse me. All right. So you see, Abraham is come to refer to as the first Jew, as the first person to use his own cognitive abilities to discover and recognize the one God, reject the idolatrous ways of his ancestors and contemporaries, actively publicized the truth of God, and was prepared to give his very life for these goals. Abraham epitomized Jewishness many centuries before the term came into common use. The Bible sums it up this way: for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Romans 2:28-29. Every person that submits to the king of the tribe of Judah is a Jew. I'll say that again. Every person, black, Hebrew, Israelite, that submits to the lion of the tribe of Judah is a Jew, and he has an inward heart circumcision, and it has nothing to do with the melanin content in your skin. But you know what? We've had people come right here. Guys who used to post and make internet messages for Omega Ministries who have become black Hebrew Israelites. And drug their wives over there because the wives don't want to rock the boat. And they'd rather go to hell with him than to stand for Christ. Trying to not rock the boat as my husband goes into a delusion. And I go right along with him. Guy contacted me yesterday, said, pray for this woman who brought me to Omega Ministries 3 years ago and has gone and become a black Hebrew Israelite. When you don't let go of your blackness, you are being set up to go into a delusion because you have an affinity to worship your race and not the living God through Jesus Christ. This thing is just like a plague on this land. It's all in the NBA. That's all the stuff you see when they come make a shot, come down, making the third eye symbol with their hands. That's all that is. Kyrie Irving got the triangle tattooed on his shoulder with the eye in the middle of it, let you know he's a, all these guys are Masons, and all of them are bound by the Egyptian religions. That's what Jay-Z is, Kanye West is, that's why they act so crazy. The demons that govern Satan's matrix has taken their mind over. And they hate me and you if you bring it up and show them the light. Because the demon in them rises up. It's not a human being doing this. It's the demon in them trying to do what? Defend the tabernacle. I'm defending this vessel because I inhabit this vessel. If you illuminate them with truth and have them come to a conscious awareness of my presence, they may have a propensity to expel me. And I need a house to do what? Express myself. I need a vessel. I gotta have a horse to ride. They see humans as nothing but horses to ride, a vessel for me to express myself. The Bible keeps calling anybody that's inhabited by a demon a house. When they come out of that house, I will go back to the house from which I came. He's looking for a vehicle of expression. He takes over the emotion centers, the logic functions. He's getting you emotionally attached to your intellect. That's a bad scenario. When your intellect is governed by your emotions, you are totally controllable. That's why I tell you, emotions are what? Satan's doorway to your soul. Once you're emotional, your intellect will be impugned. You ever seen a girl tied to a no good guy? The guy's no good, but her emotions are damaging and impugning her intellect. That's why you can't teach people who are emotional. That's why you don't see me leaning heavy on emotion, trying to tune up and squall and get you to shout. I'm appealing to your intellect. Let your intellect rule your emotions. Don't let your emotions rule your intellect. That's the doorway into damnation. Because the devil comes in through the soul. Feelings, emotions, nuances. What I'm striking against, if you're bound by that demon, is your mind is being hit. And your emotions will begin to reverberate because you believed a lie. And the demon inside of you will begin to go like a tuning fork. He'll be you. That's not true. That's not, he'll be yelling in your mind. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Why? Because he don't want to leave. He got you bound and he's got your intellect controlled by your emotions. You still want to be black. You don't want to be saved. See, I don't want to be saved. I want to be more black than saved. You can be as black as a can of Kiwi shoe polish. That won't get you saved. They hate that. I mean, it's some folk right now on the internet, man. They're throwing beer bottles at the screen and stuff. And this is real. Every person submitting to the king of the tribe of Judah is a Jew. Therefore, Pontius Pilate placed a sign on Jesus' cross which read, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Because Jews are a spiritual entity now. You saw Jacob Prash, a Jew, telling you that the Jews in Israel are not the Jews. The religion itself is not the Jews. There are people in Israel who are Jews, but the religion is counterfeit. You got to know that. The religion is Antichrist. When a Jew says the name of Jesus in that religion, they spit after they say it. He's a cursed thing. That's why I said, if you are a Jew that came to Jesus, let your name be blotted out of the book of life. Look at the vehement hate. It's abnormal for them to hate Jesus like that. When he was a Jew himself. But they don't like the fact that he's the Son of God. And you must worship him. And they spit when they say his name. That's the vehemence you pick up in everybody that's not in submission to God through Jesus Christ. Forget all this racial stuff, folks. This is me talking a year ago. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37. He was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:5. So take the time to go back and carefully read all of Deuteronomy 6 in order to understand the context of this passage. You'll discover that a real Jew is one that worships the Lord Jesus Christ without paying homage to idols. That's what a Jew is. He can't have an idol. No homage to idols. You worship Jesus Christ with no idols. When we stand against doctrine, it's not personal, but we must earnestly contend for the faith as we are commanded to do in Jude 1:3. Saints, don't let yourself get wrapped up in any form of racial distinctions or animosity towards the members of the body of Christ. For God's sake, stay free in these last days, giving heed to what Paul told Timothy. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. 2 Timothy 5:22. The term lay hands on suddenly, according to Benson's commentary, means lay hands suddenly and rashly on no man. That is, appoint no man in church to church offices without full trial and examination. Otherwise, you will be an accessory to and accountable for his misbehavior in his office. Neither be partaker of other men's sins, as thou wilt certainly make thyself if you be the means of bringing those into the ministry whom you might have discovered to be unfit for that office. Keep yourself pure. In other words, don't sign off on somebody that's crazy. Don't make everybody a brother. Don't hit the like button on the internet if you know that's crazy. Keep yourself pure, because when you agree, when you say amen to a statement, that says, I agree with that. You can curse yourself with an amen. Be careful about endorsing those that teach error, because you will be responsible for what they teach, especially to babes in Christ. That's why these guys on the internet, on Facebook, are in dire straits. They're in a dangerous place, because they're contaminating people who are just getting saved and turn them away to Christ, from Christ, to this false filth that they're putting forth. Time to grow up and mature in the Lord. So I just used that same message we just looked at, that same video, to reinforce the fact that Revelations 2:9 is not talking about Khazarian Jews in Israel. It's talking about the Jews after Jesus died, establishing rabbinical Judaism with rabbis. All that rabbi stuff you see is just another false religion, like Roman Catholicism and everything else, Buddhism, Hinduism. They did that to set up a false religious system to contradict and to stand against the Christians, who said the Messiah has come in the flesh. Every spirit that confesses not that the Messiah has come in the flesh is Antichrist. That's what he's talking about. So when folks try to use Revelation 2:9 to jump off, tell you that the blacks are Jews, now you know the real history of it. The diaspora actually scattered the Jews throughout the world, really the Israelites. The Jews stayed in Judea, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. The diaspora had people dispersed throughout the world that were Israelites. They mixed in with different civilizations and cultures. That's how you get Ethiopian Jews. Because see, the world, here's how the world is right now. You can be a member of the tribe of Reuben or Simeon or Dan or any one of those tribes. You know, Dan now is replaced with Manasseh. And Zebulun, Asher, Benjamin. The world lumps all Israelites under the heading of Jews. But it's not true. Jews came from the tribe of Judah. They lived in Judah's territory, which was Judea. Go watch Ben-Hur. You'll hear him talk about Judea. So you got to know that. And Jesus came from the kingly lineage of David, meaning he was a rightful king over the tribe of Judah. So he is the Son of God, meaning he's God's son. He's the Son of Man, meaning he's Adam's son. He's the Son of David, meaning he has the bloodline of David flowing through him, through Mary. Remember, he didn't have Joseph's bloodline. He was the seed of the woman, because Mary was born in the house of David. This day is born to you in the house of David. A son has been given, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what's happening. Don't let anybody box you in with this delusional stuff, especially you young people at HBCUs. Don't let them get to your mind now, because you got a bunch of old folks that's been so bound by this for years, they can't even hear what I'm saying. They're bound. They're ground is just grinding, because they got all the hatred and the black fervor of what has happened to black people. So they're bound together in what? A covenant of hatred. Instead of coming to Jesus Christ to have your soul purified from hatred. Hatred destroys the hater. You can't let hatred take you over. And God knows there's a lot of folk that does stuff that make you want to hate them. I know that. You know that. But hey, that hatred is just like cancer. The Bible says, man, this thing is like bitterness. And what bitterness causes is rottenness in your bones, man. It's going to eat you up from the inside. A lot of cancer and stuff comes from you hating people. You got to extract the bitterness out of yourself, man, the hatred out of yourself to get free totally. But what you're going to find from here on out, and it's not going to be pretty, is a lot of folks going to blame us for their inability to achieve what they're trying to achieve because you said something about it. It's like you got a guy deceiving 30 people, and they just heard what I said, and he don't want to repent. He's got to hate me. He got no choice. Because you exposed them to that, and now they question what I'm teaching them. We must kill you. Do you know that's why they killed Jesus? He came as a stark contrast to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And we got to kill him. Because the people are turning toward him and believing him. And he's extracting money away from us as we got these people under our control. Church folk and religious folk hate the gospel. You see a lot of folk that say things that parallel what we say and divert the people right to Hebrew Israelites. Because you got to have what? Exclusiveness and a sect to be somebody. See, a lot of guys have affectations and they want to be somebody. The real gospel won't make you nobody. You know why? Because you'll be dead. I tell folk before you get in this, my wife tell me, said, you know, people don't come to this because you tell them up front, this is a suicide mission. You know, this is about death and you're not coming back. I said, we don't want nobody else but people like that. I do that to exclude the deadheads. We don't want people who who think it's not a suicide mission because they're not valid anyway. You want some folk that say, I see what it is, I know what it is, I'm going anyway. Amen. That's the person you want. Knowing full well what you get into and not trying to find some kind of way to make it all right. Look, it's not going to be all right. It's the ones that go anyway. Those are the real folk. Folk that are trying to downgrade God. It's a gospel that's saying our faith and we want to see America come back again. Can't you see Trump is building his whole presentation on let's make America great again. Yeah. America under a curse. Yeah. You can't kill 60 million babies and God going to bless you. You might as well expunge that God Bless America song off the record. After 9/11, they got on the steps of the Capitol talking about God Bless America. You singing to God, watching you kill 60 million folks. Black folks have one of the highest abortion rates in the nation. And talking about Black Lives Matter and butchering black babies every day in the abortuary. You're a hypocrite. How can black lives matter and you're killing the black folks yourself? How can black lives matter when in Chicago, all the black boys blowing the black guy's brains out? The white man's not doing that. Black folks are doing that because blacks are bathed in self-hatred. So they try to go over to become black Hebrew Israelites to have some kind of an identity. And you still hate yourself because you're reacting to oppression. You're reacting to discrimination. Instead of coming to God and going vertical to have a life, I'm still looking for what? Acceptance from down here. A black man is really striving to get the white man to accept him. While claiming to hate the white man. While claiming to say the white man had done all this to me. But I really want the white man to say, you all right, boy. I accept you. Come on and sit in the front of the bus now. And eat a bologna sandwich with me at the lunch counter, boy. And I'll make you all right. Then you get hidden discrimination because they had that civil rights mess make you believe eating a bologna sandwich with somebody at a lunch counter made you equal. But you still separate but equal. Because now you got the undermining power of corporate discrimination. You got a glass ceiling over you, you just can't see it. Yeah, you got your master's degree and your doctorate, your PhD and all that. You got the credentials, But that little young 20-year-old boy going to hell to you because his daddy owned the company.
Right. That's how it's going.
Let's get for real. I mean, I don't hold nothing back. I ain't trying to be funny. This is the way it goes. What am I telling you? Fight for equality and fight for civil rights. I'm telling you to be born again.
Yeah. Right.
Get to the man that really got the plan, who really got the power.
Right.
Jesus Christ promotes as he sees fit.
Right.
Why am I going to fool around with a white man, a black man, a Spanish man, or whatever? Let me go direct to the man who made all men so I can just be in with him and I'll move as he sees fit. And I'm trying to be a black Hebrew with a long robe on and a gown and a scepter in my hand walking down the street. I'm telling you how to short circle all of this and bypass the debris and go direct to the one who has all power in his hand.
Amen.
I'm trying to get close to the president. The president ain't got all power in his hand, man. You wasting all that time dealing with these Mickey Mouse connections you trying to make. Trying to hobnob, trying to move and shake and press the flesh to know some folk to try to move up and have your nose all brown all day. Happy hour is really brown nose hour. With a martini in your hand, brown nose in your balls, you know, sniffing. The Lord don't require you to brown nose your way up. You can come in boldly by faith and make your request known to the King.
Amen.
I'm telling you what's natural and normal, and this is logical, and folk go right to the vomit of the world. You know how silly this is? Why would I go to Satan, incapable of acceptance, looking for it? But here's what a rejected person does. This is the programming of a rejected person. Since I want acceptance from people in the world, I'll keep going to the world to get acceptance. And I'm going to a reservoir that's incapable of accepting me. So I get what? Cyclical rejection. Because I'm trying to find gold where there's nothing but dirt. I want you to accept me. You're full of the devil. You can't. Because the very character of the devil is rejection. I want you to love me. He can't. The very character of the devil is hatred. I want you to show me compassion and you care for me. He can't. The very character of the devil is lust and using you.
That's right.
So you go into a no good man trying to get love when he can't love you. God is love. Anybody without God can't love. So you're going to the devil looking for godly traits.
Looking for the fruit of the Spirit.
In the matrix, roaming around like a nomad, wanting people to validate you. And that you're going to the devil looking for water when the devil's got a pot full of strychnine. Jim Jones showed you that. Drinking the Kool-Aid. So now Donald Trump will bring us out. No, Hillary Rodham Clinton will bring us out. No, God ain't gonna let none of these folk bring you out. You got to be born again. And be extracted from the inside out from the matrix. When you talk like I'm talking right now, you're hated. Because you're not engaged in any of the devil's programs. The devil's got a billion systems down here. All he wants you to do is join one of them. If not something that's apparently evil, join the right system in church. I've had the offers over my lifetime, man, from guys that run ministries and stuff. Price, just come on and we can set you up to, you know. I came in this thing. I did get with the guy in charge. I could have been over there with them. When we got started, my wife would tell you, Creflo had 8 people in a school over here on Hershey Road. They would go over there smoothing around with Creflo. Oh, you got in with Copeland Creflo? Man, let me smooth on over with you. I'll be your assistant and carry your bags, man. You'd be worth about $500,000 a year right now just hanging around. That was back in the day. We was casting out devils in church and Creflo was sitting in the back row shaking, his knees knocking together. Then he came out later, Christian can't have no demons. That demon stuff, they spitting up demons in a bag and all. He made fun of it. And go deeper into demonic blindness because you bypassed what was right in front of you that was obviously something happening that was spiritual. But you can hobnob your way into anything. The devil's going to always make you an offer. Telling you on your job, any way he can get a hold of you, he's going to make the offer. It's going to sound good. And a lot of people think, that's God moving me up. You better get to God and understand what this is in front of you. Because everything that's a good thing is not a God thing. Ask a lot of folks that got married to the wrong person. Showing off the ring everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, you saw it. You mean everywhere they go, they trying to. Hey, what that over there? But look, we see your little crummy ring. We see your little crummy ring. All right, talk. Get the ring out my face. You're scratching my nose all up and everything. I see your ring. You know the guy's a serial killer, right? You heard about the guy you engaged to. They just arrested him last week. Man. You thought he was out of town. He really down in the county jail. He getting killed 5 people. Jeez. Let me see that ring again. See, you'll be out there in La La Land with these folk. The devil knows how to do what? Come as an angel of light and fix himself up real. He clean up real good. The devil ain't scraggly. The devil coming here right now. All the women say, dog, that devil. Sure, that's a sharp joker. That devil's sharp as a tack. He'll come, anyone sitting here? And she said, dog, that joker bringing them brown eyes, flashing, man. You see that curl eye draped over it, right side of his temple and everything? Man, that joker came up to me, man. He had on some kind of, I don't know if that was Obsession or Giorgio, what that was, that Armani, I don't know what that was. He came by me. Man, the scent just lingered in there. Man, I was looking at that joker, man. The devil is all right. Devil is a woman is fine too. The devil is fine, man. Man, you saw that girl, she came in. She was so ladylike too. Had a Bible and everything. Sat next to me, you know. And she was, what scripture is he reading now? Where did, I just got here. Where is he coming out of? And her voice sounded so melodious. The devil, man. The devil. The devil cleans up real good. So while you're sitting there in the delusion and sitting up seeking after the devil, you better wake up. But you know, when you point out these things, you become the enemy. It's so bad right now, I'll tell you how bad it is. Somebody said the other day, price is breaking up homes. You know what that was based on? That oral sex thing. Yeah, and you causing trauma in people's homes, and folks are breaking up their marriages because one of them stopped doing that when the marriage bed is under fire. You following a false prophet because God would never break up a home. Let's go back to the Bible. What did the Bible say? I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Your enemies will be where?
Your
own household. You stop sinning and the other folk want to keep sinning. It's going to cause a disparity. I didn't break up your home. Look at this. You are blaming me for you wanting to engage in oral sex. The oral sex ain't the problem. Price is the problem for saying it's wrong. Look how warped this is now. You eating raw sewage, but I'm wrong, and I'm breaking up homes. Why didn't the oral sex break up the home? In other words, I stopped doing it because I sanctified myself in the garden. I stopped doing the filth, and my husband left me. Now, did Price break it up, or did the oral sex break it up? But they turn on me. And this is a woman that don't want to leave her husband and do anything to keep him. And I'm teaching a delusion. You're getting ready to be, first of all, diseased up from eating all that fecal matter and urine and stuff and bacteria. And then you're going to be lost eternally as a sodomite. And then they'll blame you. I mean, think about this. You could have gone to heaven. But for this. Man. This is the only, I mean, you gave up everything but this. Man. That's unbelievable. Yeah. And they will stand on it. They will almost curse folk out about it on the internet. Yeah. And you're thinking, a person's mind is that deranged that that's the only thing that's got them. And they won't let that go. All because I don't want this man to leave me because I'm dependent upon him. Just like the Hebrew Israelite stuff. I've seen woman after woman just go with her husband with that trash before they say, look, if that's you, that's you. I'm not in it. The Bible covers it and says if the unbeliever departs in such cases, you are not bound to them. That's what the Bible said verbatim. Look, I'll be honest with you. My job ain't trying to save no happy home. My job is preach the gospel. I don't like that. You should have an effort put forth to save marriages. Not if everybody going to hell in the marriage. My job is to get people from earth to heaven. That's it. And it's a radical job, and it's a tenacious job that's got to be done with almost like a ruthlessness appended to it. Because this is a ruthless devil that's fighting us. You can't afford to bow down to this devil in any facet of life. You have to refuse to bow. Don't blame me if you eating raw sewage and I told you not to. Don't blame me if you stopped and your mate or your husband left you. I didn't do it. The oral sex demon did that. And of course, one guy says there's no such thing as an oral sex demon. They made that up. They fabricated that. The marriage bed is undefiled no matter what you do. Now, we can name a lot of real weird things you can do, and you tell me, yeah, it's undefiled. And if anything you do is valid, man, you better wake up out of that deep, deep sleep. These folks have been so spellbound and hypnotized by the devil that they can't even see the obvious things in life that are nasty. I told you last week, the oral sex spirit is covered under one word, uncleanness. It's an unclean activity. The Bible tells you to stay away from uncleanness or any other thing that's not appended to righteousness. He covered the whole gamut. Says, show it to me verbatim. God is not stupid. He knows that a normal person won't do unclean, filthy things. You know how many billions of things he'd have to delineate in the Bible to tell you not to do nasty things? He just says, be holy, for I am holy. Sanctify yourself from uncleanness. You can't mix the clean with the unclean. That's as far as he takes it. Folks, man, are in bad shape. It takes a rare individual to be born again and be sanctified unto God and be cleaned up from sin. Because you got to be tenacious about it to get out of this. This is the real deal. All right, we're dealing with the feminine mystique. The feminine mystique. We're going to try to dissect this thing this morning to show you what the feminine mystique is. Let's begin by looking at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2:18. The feminine mystique. If women really realize the power they had and what God has called them to do, man, it'd be a lot of folks that would stop doing a lot of things and just put the brakes on and just turn around. Because God has made you and designed you for a purpose. God is an engineering genius. If he made you a certain way, he made you that way for a purpose. And we have to really examine those purposes and what he was thinking about when he did what he did. The feminine mystique, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. That word helpmeet is a person that is suitable to help, somebody that's compatible to him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now think about this. He made all the fowls and the beasts from the same dirt he made Adam from. So these, if you ever seen a dead dog on the street, let him lay there for 20 or 30 days. He's going to begin to rot. After a year, he's going to revert back to dust. From dust he was formed, and to dust he returned. So the fabrication of flesh and blood bodies are from dirt. And the very, very calculating, huge semiconductor that was Adam's mind was able to name all of these animals. Now think about that. Adam sat there and named everything. What kind of a mind did he have? His mind was directly attached to God's mind. Man, there was no blockages. There was no imagery. There were no words. There was nothing unclean. He was a direct conduit for God to think through. Man, I mean, if your mind could get back to that, well, you do a lot of damage to the devil. But you know, that's what the transformation of the mind is all about. You're trying to get your mind uplinked to God's mind. And then that mind in him will be in us. That's why it says we have the mind of Christ, the anointed one. He's trying to transfer his thinking capacity to you and me.